Hearing translation, don't have any interference. Oh, fill the meeting with you. May the flow of life flow. Amen. Oh, we open our hearts to you completely. Oh, speak freely to us. Lord, speak anew to us. Strengthen our spirit this morning. Lord, we are here to hear your voice. Lord, awaken the spirit within each one of us this morning. Oh, breathe into us and awaken our spirits. Yeah, Lord, we praise you for this meeting. Thank you. You are the water of life. Lord, refresh us this morning. Also flow so richly. Lord, we praise you for the stream and the flow in your church. Praise the Lord for this time. I'll read again in John 4, 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Praise the Lord. God seeks such worshipers. The first part of this conference, we talked a lot about the worshipers, that they should walk according to the Spirit. We talked a lot about the walk in the Spirit. That's one side. They must be in spirit. But it also says they must worship in truth. And in the last two meetings, it was about the truth, about the reality. When we want to bring God something, I thought it's so good how it came out yesterday. It has to be something in the truth, in reality. Our offering is something that we've experienced, a change that we've had experienced. It means that we have experienced him as our truth and as our reality. And that's what we can bring with us to the meetings. And that's why yesterday we talked about the food that strengthens us. And then it's the meal offering that we can then bring. The Lord says, I am. That's his name. He already said it in the Old Testament to Moses. We know that portion when he says, if I go to Egypt, who shall I say sent me? And he told Moses, he told Moses that he is the I am. And in the New Testament, he always introduces himself as I am. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the door. He is so many things for our experience. And we should enter into this reality to experience the Lord Jesus as the I am. And if this happens in our daily life, then we also have something that has changed us and that we can bring with us to worship. And this morning, as we read already, I am the water of life, and I am the resurrection and the life. And it is so good to see. The Lord always wants us to enjoy him. He wants us to enjoy him as the water of life. Already at the beginning of the Bible, he already made the garden to be a place of enjoyment. And it's a picture of him. In this garden, there's already a fountain of life, and four rivers flowed out. Yeah, that flowed through the garden and watered the garden. And already at the beginning, the Lord wanted us to experience him as this refreshment. We're talking about the true worshippers. And that's in John 4. But if we go back a little bit, how did this verse even come about? It came after he had a conversation with the Samaritan woman about where they should worship. But if we go even before that, how did it begin? How did this conversation begin? It's because Jesus asked for water. He wanted this woman to receive living water. We read the story, right? Verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And this Samaritan woman, she didn't even understand it. Samaritan woman. She said, where's your bucket? How are you even going to get water? But the Lord talked to her more. And she thought, yeah, it's pretty noteworthy, it's interesting, I do want this water. But she didn't really understand. Okay, give me this water so that I don't have to come to this well again. Maybe it's good to show this again, not just for the new ones, but also for us, that we can also, yeah, be clear about this matter. We've already seen this week that the three parts of man, body, soul, and spirit. And the Lord made us in such a way that we have such a thirst. And the Lord wants to fill it. The Lord wants to quench this thirst. In her body, she's thirsty. And she thought, okay, yeah, I can get this water. And then in me, in my physical body, I will no longer thirst. But he was talking about an inward thirst. An inner thirst. And man has been made in such a way that we have this thirst. Not just our body. Not our physical body, but our soul and our spirit are also made to be thirsty for something. And only God can quench this thirst. But through sin, our spirit was deadened. We had no connection to God. If we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our spirit remains dead. It's this black hole within us. If we don't have God, yeah, we need something that would fill us, but nothing can actually satisfy us and fill us. If we do it this way, without believing in the Lord, within us there's a deep black hole. And man tries to fill himself with so many different things. But the thirst doesn't go away. There are many examples. Here, as the woman said, okay, give me this water so I don't have to come to this fountain again. And the Lord said, it's about the soul. The Lord said to her in verse 18 or 17, yeah, 16 says, go call your husband and come here. And she said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that, you spoke truly. Why did the Lord say that? Because it's about an inward thirst, an inner thirst that we try to quench. There are many things, careers, relationships, money, something. We try to find something that would fill us, but this black hole remains. And some people think, yeah, if I have a relationship with somebody, that's going to fill me. But if you look for fulfillment in this, it'll fail. She had five husbands, and nothing worked out. And the one whom you now have is not your husband. Nothing in this world can quench this thirst in us. Only the Spirit. Amen. And this is so good. The whole garden is made for enjoyment. But what we need is the tree of life, the fountain that really can satisfy us. So praise the Lord for the Spirit that we can drink. I don't know how I'm going to actually put this all back together on the board. Yeah. When we drink of the Spirit, then we will be filled inwardly. And this black hole goes away.
Amen.
God's Spirit comes into our spirit. And the Lord then says, he who drinks of this water, there will be a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The Lord can really satisfy our thirst. And he shows this in many verses in the whole Bible. In Isaiah, for example, in 55, Isaiah 55, yeah, it says, those who have thirst, come to me and drink. Come and drink of me. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? For things that can't fill you, that don't satisfy you, and that don't quench your thirst. It's Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. People in the world, they give everything they earn for this. But the Lord is saying, come to me. Buy without money and without price. Really shows that this thirst within man can only be filled by God. And also this example of the feast in John 7. They came together and celebrated for 7 days, ate and drank. And then on the last day, the Lord stood up and said, after they had eaten and drunk so much, he who thirsts, come to me and drink. John 37:37. Shows that everything that the world can offer us won't satisfy us. Oh, we talked about the World Cup, about this experience. It's something you can fill yourself with that really, really pushes your emotions and you get so happy about one goal. But actually, it doesn't really satisfy you. Yeah, there is a certain amount of joy and there, but if you really take a look at it, it has absolutely no effect on my personal life. It has no impact on my personal life. Maybe it's a short joy, but nothing remains. Just like after this feast of 7 days, Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Lord Jesus. This, he says, concerning the Spirit that we should receive if we believe on him. This Spirit is the one that gives us this water of life. And it is good to see, if we've received the Spirit of God in us, then it's not that we will just be quenched within us, but there would also be a fountain of life within us. We should have life and have it abundantly, so that something would also flow out of us. So important. When we have tasted this water, we should always be constantly refreshed and to be filled with the Spirit. And in Ephesians 5, in 18 and 19, he says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We need to drink the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Lord Jesus. What is drinking? It's to touch the Lord. The touching of the Lord, that's what refreshes. There are many ways to touch the Lord, but one way that is so important and so precious is through our mouth. We just thread it, speaking to one another. Then the Spirit can flow. Amen. And I think this is something we can and have to learn more, to open our mouth, to let this fountain flow over and bubble over. I really enjoyed it after the young ones came back from the pupils conference. And there was this example of drilling. There's a huge supply of oil within the ground. There's, a well of oil in the ground. But if I want this oil, and let's say I have a piece of land and I know that there's oil there, I have to dig. If I don't dig, then I remain poor. But if I dig, and if I hit this oil, this supply of oil, there's pressure there, and then it comes out, springs out, and then there's a fountain of oil, and this can make people really rich. And it's good. We are so rich. We don't even know what kind of land we have. We live on this land. We have this land. We don't know how rich it can make us. So it's good to dig. To dig. And to take out this oil to become rich in the Spirit. And that's why our mouth is so important. Sometimes our body is so tired. And then I don't even know how I should touch the Lord, especially during morning watch. I have to begin to dig, to open my mouth, to let the Spirit flow. Amen. And another hard layer is our soul. Yeah, we have to see here. We have to begin to dig through the Spirit. Yeah. Maybe the soul doesn't feel well, or I don't know. But we have to keep on digging until we hit the source. And then the fountain starts to squirt out. And then the Spirit will flow. And it's so good to experience. Amen. So that it just comes out and it flows out. If we go to the container that has the orange juice, sometimes there's a lot of orange juice in it, but if it just stands there and you put your cup there, nothing happens, right? It doesn't go automatically. Unfortunately, I have to turn the lever and make it and open it, and then the orange juice comes out. We can be here at the conference and rejoice over the word, but if we really want to experience something, open your mouth. Let it flow within you. There's a source, there's a fountain that wants to be set free. And this is really an exercise, and we all need to exercise it. Maybe it's a lot to exercise in the big meetings, but I was so refreshed in the small groups. Yeah, when someone opens their mouth, so many treasures came out, and that really refreshed me. And I think it's so good to exercise this, to let the Spirit also refresh us, but the whole city of God. This river should refresh the entire city of God. And we already read this about Samson. It's also about the battle. How will I fight if I don't drink? Lord Jesus, sometimes we consider and think about how come nothing really happens around me in my class or in my position at work. How come so little happens? It's because we don't have strength to fight, because we haven't had to drink. We haven't drunk of the Lord. Samson had to fight. We read the verses in Judges 15, 18 and 19. While he was fighting, he realized he had no strength because he became very thirsty. And what did he do? He cried out to the Lord and he called on his name, Lord, help me. I'm going to die of thirst and lose this battle. And then the Lord, it was a little mysterious, but he used the jawbone of a donkey. And this fountain was called the spring of the caller. Yeah, we have to experience this call on that name to be refreshed for the fight. I have to say this again. We have to exercise this, practice this. I think a lot of the lack in my daily living comes from the fact that I don't touch the Lord enough, that I don't call on His name enough. Sometimes the Lord really has to bring me into a situation where there's no other way out. Some problems outwardly from a project that I'm working on, or inwardly from my soul, but there is no other solution, so that I learn to call on His name. Amen. The Lord wants us to experience the riches that we have in this good land, and that He wants us to drink of this fountain, of this river. And when we have this offering in the spirit and in truth, then we will also become true fighters. True fighters are certainly also true worshippers. True worshippers who have spirit and reality, also can fight. Our fight is not fleshly, but it's spiritual. And I think the Lord wants to really equip us in the church and train us in the church to fight for His kingdom. These offerings have a lot to do with the kingdom. These offerings can only be brought to the capital city, so to say, in Zion, in reality. And they strengthen us to fight the good fight. When we say it again, open your mouth and let the water flow to be strengthened to fight. This is a good place to practice. Try it. Use it. Today, you are with so many who also want to touch the Lord in your morning watch or in your small group fellowship. If you're not going to practice here, where are you going to practice? When the enemy comes and you're not exercised, practiced, how are you then going to fight? And we are in a fight. We are in a battle. Israel means, fighter of God. And when you look at the children of Israel, there was always fighting. There was always battle. And God had to train them. They all had to really be trained. In Israel today, all the men and women have to be trained to fight in the physical Israel. But now for us, we have to be exercised to use our mouth. If a rocket comes and you want to shoot it down, practically speaking, how many of us can use such an Iron Dome system to actually shoot it down? Let us know. Come to know our spirit. If the enemy comes, And we've never practiced and never trained. How will we ever resist the enemy if we want to fight the good fight? We have to really come to the Lord to learn to bring out this water, to be refreshed by it, to be strengthened by it. The last point that I want to make is that this stream also makes glad the city of God. Let's also read this together in Psalm 46. Amen. Verse 4.
Psalm 46, Vers
5. Psalm 46, 4. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High.
Amen.
See, there is a river whose streams. In Zion, there is a temple. There is the throne. And from this throne, the river begins to flow. And where does this river flow? We see in Ezekiel, wherever this river flows, it makes everything, it heals everything, it heals wherever it goes. Yeah, and then the city will be made glad by these streams. If everyone has all these little streams, and we see how a big flow of life really can develop. It's from all the little streams that flow into the big river. When everyone releases this little fountain in each one of us, there would be a huge stream that would make glad the city of God. In the world, many people are shocked. But in the city of God, there is joy. And it remains glad because there's a stream that makes it glad. And when we release this stream within us, then the church remains fresh. And that begins to satisfy God. It's a offering of praise, a sacrifice of praise through our lips. Sometimes you think, well, I have nothing to say this morning. But think about all the good that the Lord has done for you. Before, it was also hard for me. But after a while, I thought, I can always praise the Lord for my salvation, for this day, for so many things that He has given us, for the conference, for His rich speaking, for His life in us. It's so good just to praise the Lord. Maybe we can also read 1:16-15. Let's read it together. 1:16. Psalm 1:16. They're trying to figure out which verse he really means. Yeah, I think it is verse 13. I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Verse 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Yeah, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Oh.